Here's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's up, Dregs?
Hey, guys, do I get a say in any of this?
Yeah, go sure. ahead.
What's your favorite movie, Darren?
Well, I'm going to guess, O-Dog, you already took Porky's.
I love that movie.
Porky's is a spectacular flash.
I mean, it's a classic. I'm not making fun of it. More recently, I would say, and I'm manly enough to admit this, I cried like a baby. I was watching, it's like first round of the playoffs, Winnipeg-St. Louis in Winnipeg. It was a boring off night. And I watched Only the Brave. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah. Refresh my memory. What is that?
Yeah,
again?
The firefighters, the hot shots in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Josh,
I mean, it's true.
Josh Brolin was in that?
Was he not?
Yeah. And then the other one that comes to mind a bit older, of course, is Shawshank Redemption.
So. Yeah. One of the best overrated movies. You're going to have an argument with Hayes.
I'm getting shattered online. People are crushing me because I don't love it. I think it's an okay movie. It's James Reimer in Detroit. It's okay, just okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm Randy Carlyle. So we've been talking about, obviously, what Marner's situation is all about here in Toronto. But the captaincy, it was unveiled today. They're going to anoint a captain. I have to believe they know who they're going to give it to.
Yeah.
They came out today and pretended like they want to take their time. What are you waiting for? You've had all summer. You've had years to figure this out. I think they know who they want to announce as the new captain. But do you get the impression like the Marner negotiation is maybe affecting the timeline on announcing a captain?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, who's to say that he couldn't be in that discussion? But clearly, if you announce that it's Austin Matthews or it's Morgan Riley or it's somebody else, John Tavares, then maybe that puts yet another slant on a negotiation that hasn't been toxic. I mean, it's been toxic publicly. And, you know, we in the media have chewed on it at length, mostly because we don't have a whole lot else going on. You know, and that'll change here in the days ahead as they get fully into camp and into the preseason and into the regular season. But I think that's fair. I think that has to be part of the consideration by the Maple Leafs brass. But I don't know what you guys think. You know, I'm a bit old school. Anytime I'm around Morgan Riley, I like everything about this guy. I love him as a hockey player. He oozes character and all of that. And that's not belittling Austin Matthews in any way, shape, or form. But I don't know anymore if we can agree or disagree, but agree that Austin Matthews is the best player on the team. Does the best player on the team have to be the captain?
No, that's not always the case.
Yeah.
But sometimes helps when it is, because a lot of times the best player can rah, 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 and you look at the guy and say, you know what, he's going to be good in the third period.
Well, and you say that's the guy who's going to deliver you. Like, usually top players always rise.
Yeah, like, I think
in
Florida Jamie in the last couple of years, they named a captain. Who was the guy's name?
It was Derek McKenzie, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was a fourth-line left winger, and it was...
Yeah.
But eventually they got that right.
They did, but it just didn't fit.
Yeah.
I honestly, though, I mean, again, for me, it feels like it's between Riley and Matthews. And John Tavares was a captain for a long time with the New York Islanders. I don't know how the Maple Leafs get this wrong. I'm sure somebody publicly is going to be offended by the decision that is made when they name a captain. I'm not going to be in that chorus because they've got three or four, I would say, highly qualified candidates.
Yeah, they do.
I agree.
They do, and they've known them for a long time as well. I mean, these guys, Tavares has been here for a year, Matthews, Riley have been here for a long time.
Yeah.
So at some point, that's going to be announced, and that'll be a positive scene for the team. It'll be a distraction for the team. Obviously, you had a bunch of reports yesterday on Marner and how his camp wants a shorter-term deal, and the Leafs are persistent about a 7 or 8 year deal. And you just said it. It's not toxic between them. It comes off that way publicly for sure. I mean, the fan base is clearly not happy the fact that he wasn't there today.
Right.
But are you working under the assumption, and I know that can be dangerous, that this will get done, though, before October 2nd?
Well, I'm not, Brian. I'm optimistic it'll get done by October 2nd because, as Kyle Dubas acknowledged today, you know, when you go beyond day one of the regular season, then, you know, the salary cap crunch starts to apply. I mean, the Maple Leafs absorbed that in William Nylander last year. you know, the Winnipeg Jets are concerned about that because they've got two guys in Laine and Connor that are hanging out there. But that, to me, is more of the soft deadline, is the start of the regular season. And, you know, at the end of the day, hockey players want to play hockey. We all appreciate the business side of things. I think that it's going to be real difficult for Mitch Marner to be watching from the sidelines or from his condo in Toronto rather than being on the ice. We know the preseason is one thing. Obviously, he can get through training camp without having to worry about it. But that's where it really starts to emotionally impact players. But look, it's still a negotiation. And, you know, people need to understand that it's still amicable. Like, it's not like Ferris in the Marner camp and Dubas in the Toronto Maple Leafs management corps are throwing bombs at each other. They're not. I mean, Kyle is doing his due diligence in trying to get a star player signed to a long-term extension. You know, that's his mandate. That's what he wants, and that's what he intends to do. The player, at least right now, isn't in a position where he wants to accept a 7 or an 8 year contract extension. And the 8 year term that we keep talking about that, you know, seems to be appealing to Marner right now doesn't make sense for the Maple Leafs because of that third year. And we've been down that road a lot over the last several days. So I'm looking at the glass half full. I really am. That's not inside information. I think Mitch Marner's a character kid, and I know the Toronto Maple Leafs recognize how important he is to their team, and I still feel some level of optimism that they will get something done.
With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider.
Dregs, in saying that, with those numbers that you tossed around and Bobby confirmed yesterday, how does three people, whether it be Marner, his dad, his agent, sit in a room and say, actually, that's not going to work for me? That takes care of your mom and dad, your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids. Like, who the hell says no to that? Like, that is where people are really kind of disgusted and pissed off.
Yeah, I get it, oh. I really, truly do. And again, I'm not establishing blame here. I don't have a horse in this race. But I can tell you what other general managers around the NHL say, and I can only assume that the Marner camp feels this way as well. Say what you want about the caliber of player that Austin Matthews is, and I mean, he's top-notch. I mean, this guy is a horse as a star number one center in the National Hockey League. Did the Toronto Maple Leafs really have to give him that five-year term when they gave it up? I don't think they did. I really don't think they did. And, you know, if you want to revisit history, you go back, you know, if Marner was that important, why didn't they try and extend him at 8 years times nine last year? You would have taken that, I'm sure, a year ago.
Yeah, but Drake, there's a lot of people in this building that have different contracts, but we don't look at it and say, I can't make it work because this guy has that or this guy has this.
Yeah,
well,
I know
the fact
that,
they give Austin Matthews, that has nothing to do with Mitch Marner.
Well, it does. I mean, are you telling me that you as a hockey player, your agent, your family didn't step in and say, well, look, I scored 41 times here. This guy scored 30, and he makes $1.5 million more than I did. Why is that right?
Darren,
I
mean, that's just a big, if my dad big called story, me and said there's $116 million Canadian on the table, and he said, if you say no to this, I'm disowning you, that's what he would say.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. 116 Canadian.
How many pesos?
A billion pesos.
Yeah. How many dong?
A trillion dong.
There you go.
Okay, but hold on. That's also, what, 15 years ago, maybe more, and it was a different era. And truthfully, how many 21, 22-year-old kids coming out of their first contract, going into their second contract, would have had the stones back then to apply the leverage that these kids are trying to apply? And,
wow.
You know, we're fixated on Marner because, look, I mean, we're in the Toronto market. We should be. I mean, that's what we talk about. But you don't think they're talking about the same thing with Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary or, you know, Rantanen to some degree? I mean, Colorado's got how much in cap space, and they still haven't found a way to get this kid signed. I understand. Look, at, you know, if my kid had half the talent that Marner and these RFAs had and he was being offered that type of money, are you kidding me? I mean, I would drag him kicking and screaming to sign that contract. But That's not how it goes anymore. Unfortunately, that's just not the reality, the business side for these kids.
Well, there are some of these kids. What if they go and do a workout and do some jump squats or get on the ice and blow an Achilles blow their knee out, and they turn down some dollars that are just inconceivable, and they'll be kicking themselves.
He's got he does have the shield, though. Marner's got the shield that Laine hasn't signed, that Tkachuk hasn't signed, Besser hasn't signed. Our buddy Matt Sakaris is saying he heard they offered 6 years at $7 million at the draft.
He's not the only guy.
And Besser turned it down.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, it feels like Marner has been the focal point because of the magnitude of this market.
Correct.
Because of the Matthews and Nylander stuff and the pressure on Dubas, so it's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah. But
none of these guys are taking discounts, man.
Like, nah.
It is not going to happen.
But I'll tell you what, I agree with O in this sense, and Noodles, and Jeff and Brian, you played the game at a high level too. I mean, we never made money playing; those guys did. But I would be terrified of injury. And you know, even on a 3-year term, and I know from a dollars and cents perspective, I get it. You know, you want to take that 3-year deal. The qualifying offer turns into your fourth year, and then you really ultimately control the process. But a lot of crap can happen between now and then.
Yeah, what if you don't make it to the fourth year?
Well, that's, you're right. Injury is one of the things, Dregs. And even, let's say you get injured, there's no guarantee. This is something that I learned today about the CBA. If your final year, the team can qualify you if they don't like what's going on at 15% discount.
Right.
So it's not, say the last year is 11.
Yeah,
but you get qualified at 9.35 because say you got hurt in year one and you've been out for 2 years. You're not guaranteed that.
I'd be
11.
Like, oh damn, I got to make $9 million.
But
darn it,
no. But what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is, my biggest thing is, we know and we think Mitch Marner is going to be, let's say, 90 to 100 point player. But you know, for the most part, like I think he's that good and going to play. And but if I'm not suggesting that it would go south, but if he has a massive injury or things just don't work out, like, you could potentially be leaving a lot of money on the table.
Absolutely.
Like, you're like, where do you if you're at $11 million on 7-year deal or 8-year deal or 6 or whatever you've worked out, how much more are you going to go? Are you
going to
go
four?
In year, you know, exactly. Like, that's where I'm saying, like, are you going to surpass McDavid? Yeah. If McDavid's the bar, how many guys are going to leapfrog Connor McDavid at 12.5?
No. So, let me ask you guys this though: in the Toronto market, like, Marner is the last kid into the pool, right? I mean, of the RFAs in Toronto, he's the last guy standing.
Sure.
You know, if this is Matthews, if this is Willie Nylander again, as an example, he's getting torched way worse than Marner, and Marner is taking heat. To some degree, unfairly, frankly. I mean, there are two people or two groups in this negotiation. And we can, you know, debate all day long whether or not he should have turned down 7 times 11, 8 times 11, you know, all of that stuff. And I understand that debate. If this is Matthews, you know, is the media to some degree, is the fan base turning on Auston Matthews the way they seem to, from a social media perspective, be turning on Marner?
Darren, anybody that turns down 7 times 11 or 7 times 10 or 8 times 10 or 11, doesn't matter your last name. It's absurd to turn down.
Nylander,
that is the bottom line.
Nylander took a lot of heat. Now, he took a lot of heat.
But he missed games.
Hey,
he deserved it.
John Tavares left, I don't know, like $13 million plus on the table and leaving the New York Islanders. I mean, you know, is he a bad guy? I mean, he took a discount because he wanted to play in Toronto. But players do make decisions. So if you're allowed to take a discount, you know, you shouldn't be shredded because you're trying to maximize your leverage when you don't have a contract.
I think John Tavares is a unique situation where he was unrestricted and he was going to the highest bidder.
Yeah, but he didn't go to the highest bidder. The highest bidder was the New York Islanders. I mean, the last deal that he accepted from the Toronto Maple Leafs was a take it or leave it deal, and he took it. And he was advised by some not to take it because he left tons of money on the table. But you're right. I mean, you know, the unrestricted market versus the restricted market is different. You know, that's when you're UFA, you can make those lifestyle decisions in any fashion you want.
Dregs, for me, it just comes down to 7 times 11 or 8 times 11. And I don't need people validating my comments, but I talk to a lot of people in the game to say that anybody for anybody to turn that down, they're flat out nuts. Flat out nuts.
And it's a big number. There's no doubt about that.
No kidding.
Yeah. Well, especially at that position. Well, right? Like he's a playmaking winger. He's a great player.
And
like
he is. You can't lose sight of that. But my thing is, and I've said this before, I think we talked about it either on air earlier or off air, was if his whole goal is to get to 11-6, which is it's 600,000 more, let's say on an 8-year deal, that's $5 million. When you're making so much money,
I don't want a guy on my team that says I don't want 11, I want 11-6. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying is
that's nuts.
He's not even going to notice that when you're making so much money, you're not going to notice that extra 600 grand. I know. Right. I know that sounds ridiculous to say, but with escrow and taxes and that, like, really, what would be the real money you'd be leaving on the table technically?
To me, it's not the money. It isn't the money. I mean, and it sounds ridiculous. You know, when you're talking about 77 or 88 million, look, I believe there's a 3-year deal there with an annual average salary at around 9.25, 9.5, right? That he'd be willing to take from Toronto. The issue, of course, and not to go down this path again, is that third year. You know, if somehow they can come to terms on that third year not being $11 or $12 million, that might be the place where they find happiness and get a deal done. But that doesn't satisfy the fact that, you know, if you're talking about a $30 million deal over 3 years, you know, you're also talking about leaving $47 million or more on the
table.
It's
a gamble.
Over the length of a contract.
It's a big gamble. It's a big, big gamble. Well, we'll see. We're going to have actual players on the ice as of tomorrow, which will be a great distraction. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Dregs.
Okay, boys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.